The Fox City Score chapter and WHBY are pleased to bring you Biz Talk. Join Tony and Randy as they talk with entrepreneurs and professionals who share their experiences from starting to sustaining growth. Learn the skills needed for your business to be successful and get interactive by calling 281-1150. If you missed anything, you can catch the Biz Talk podcast at www.biztalkwithscore.com. And now, from the Myron Construction Studio, it's Biz Talk on WHBY.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Biz Talk. We're really glad you joined us this morning on a sunny Saturday morning. My name is Tony Bush in the studio this morning with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony. It looks like an absolutely beautiful day for a parade. So if you're not thinking about it, remember 2:30 this afternoon, downtown
Flag
Appleton.
Flag Day Parade. Very popular. We want to welcome you to our show. Our guest this morning is Byline Bank, and representing Byline Bank, we have two distinguished people here. Eric Mankey is a senior VP and commercial team leader, and Jesse Hagen is the vice president of business development. She's an officer in that role. We're going to be talking to them in just a moment, but we just want to say that BizTalk is brought to you each weekend by the Fox City Score Chapter, and we're going to give you some information during the program about our Score Chapter. We encourage you to contact us if you're looking to start a business or if you're already in business. So we'll turn our attention to our guest this morning. Good morning, Eric, and good morning, Jesse. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. Good morning, Randy. Thank you.
Good morning.
Appreciate you having us.
You betcha. Glad to have you here. I'd also like to point out that Byline Bank is a sponsor of BizTalk, and we certainly appreciate the support that you give to Score and to BizTalk in that role. Tell us a little bit about Byline Bank. I think you have some pretty good news to share with us this morning. And tell us about your backgrounds and what does Byline Bank do?
Well, I'm Eric Mankey. I've been with the bank now 11 years. Byline Bank is a relatively new name to the Wisconsin market. It's better known as, or formerly known as, Ridgestone Bank. Ridgestone has been part of the Wisconsin scene since 1996. Back in October, Byline acquired us. We continue doing what it was we did under Ridgestone. That's purely focusing on commercial lending, even more of a finer focus, SBA and USDA lending. Myself, I head up the commercial team. We've got 10 lenders in Wisconsin, and we've been doing it, like I said, for about 11 or so years in an existing office, and I've been with them since that time. Overall, about 30 years in the business, and primarily in the commercial lending side.
You're a veteran. Jesse?
I've been with Ridgestone Bank, Byline Bank, since 2006, so when it went from a publicly traded bank to privately owned. And my entire career has been focused on the SBA program. I started in banking in 1989 with the bank that at that time was known as F&M Bank and became Associated Bank, and then went to a couple other national SBA players. And so I've always been, like I said, doing the SBA program. I started typing up the applications and eventually moved into the lending side.
Well, Byline Bank has been Ridgestone Bank, as you said, and they had a real focus on SBA lending. And one of the things we wanted to talk about this morning was mergers and acquisitions. There seems to be a growing interest in mergers and acquisitions. More people are selling. There's a bunch of buyers out there. Tell us what you see in mergers and acquisitions, and tell us how your bank plays a role in that.
Well, you are absolutely correct. Acquisition financing is a very large percentage of the activity and the transactions that we are doing. And I would say that because of the baby boomers, et cetera, there's a lot of velocity out there and a lot of buyers, a lot of very qualified buyers. The reason the SBA program is a good tool for financing those transactions is because there are so many companies that do not have a lot of assets, a lot of goodwill, a lot of intangibles. So these days, a lot of service companies, in-home care, software, technology companies, and the SBA fills that gap and provides lenders with some sense of security. And so they're focusing on the cash flow of the business. And generally speaking, you know, the SBA program is a cash flow lender. And so acquisitions that have good cash flow but very light on assets, perfect match.
So SBA is a guarantor. They will guarantee the repayment of a percentage of the loan to the lender. Right?
That is correct. We try not to call them a guarantor per se because we don't want to give the false impression that a borrower can say, well, you've got
to still have to pay the SBA and the bank if the loan should fail.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, one of the things I try to educate people on when I'm talking to them about the SBA program is that here's how it works. It's still money being lent by that given bank.
Yes.
And the borrower is the guarantor, and the expectation is that the company pays us back. But if there is a situation where they're unable to, you know, if they've missed three payments in a row after we've worked with them, or they've let their some taxes go past due, or they don't pay their insurance premiums.
Sure.
If after all that has taken place and they still can't succeed and turn around the company, we are charged with liquidating the assets that secured that loan. First business assets, if those don't pay us back and make the bank whole, then we go after the personal guarantee if there are some assets left there. Oftentimes there are not, because business owners usually liquidate what they have to try to save their company. But only then can we turn to the SBA and ask them to pay us a percentage of what we remain lost, if you will, or if, whatever we have not been able to collect on our loan.
So essentially the SBA is protecting the integrity of the depositor's money you loaned out to that borrower to give you that money back, but the guarantor, the owner of the business, still is obligated to, under their guarantee, to pay the bank and the SBA.
Absolutely.
At least the bank.
Correct.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And that means, of course, the bank then is the primary decision maker in the lending process.
Absolutely. The SBA expects bankers to be prudent in their lending and not, you know, just rely on that guarantee from the SBA to make up for a poor loan.
Tell us about Byline's expertise in SBA lending, and what do you do better than the other competitors?
Well, I think we differentiate ourselves from that of other SBA lenders, and there's a lot of them out there and a lot of good ones.
Yep.
But we differentiate ourselves in that we're purely an SBA lending bank. In our group, which is Byline Small Business Capital, we have 175 employees. As I indicated earlier, 10 of which are lenders in Wisconsin. We have another 15 or so that are spread out throughout the country. But the other 160 or so are made up of our backroom staff, our underwriters, our loan closers, our loan operations group. Everyone is very well versed in the SBA. So it's very important as an individual that, one, you understand all the eligibility requirements and all the regulatory requirements. So when you're looking at a bank, you want to differentiate yourself from who's good, who's better. And we think that because our focus is strictly SBA, we're certainly one of the tops in that field.
One of the things we kind of say is there are any bank theoretically can get involved in the SBA program, and many of them dabble in it or do a few a year. But in order to make the process as smooth as possible, and it is a process.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things to think about from start to finish. Using a lender that is fully dedicated to the SBA lessens the possibility of a problem or something being missed and a mistake being made or something of that nature.
Tell us what a PLP lender is.
PLP stands for Preferred Lender Program. It is a designation provided to banks that have demonstrated a proficiency and a high level of activity within the SBA program. And it actually provides that lender the authority to approve a fair number or large number of the loans that they see. There are certain transactions that will not qualify for a PLP process loan, but it easily saves somewhere between 4 and 8 weeks in the process.
So approving, or the authority to approve, means obligating the SBA to the guarantee on the loan.
Yes.
That's what that means, because you have that expertise.
Correct.
And the terminology the SBA uses is delegated authority.
Yep. So when I'm out there talking to different lenders and so on, that's very important for me to find someone who has that PLP designation. And are all lenders who have that the same, or what would you say on that one?
Well, I would say that, yes, PLP is important to ask about that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, are all PLP lenders the same? No, not every lender has an entire banking setup where everyone involved in the organization knows SBA rules top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of banks have departments or a couple of dedicated people. Not only that, but just because you have that PLP authority doesn't mean that the loan terms any borrower is provided are identical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, someone is buying a business and it does not include any real estate in the transaction. The SBA says that the maximum repayment term is 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
We always offer a 10-year repayment to our borrowers.
Better structure for the balance sheet.
Exactly. And cash flow. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's all about cash flow.
Tony is just grinning like a Cheshire cat over there. So.
It's true.
What we've seen on occasion, and it actually surprised us the first few times it happened, other banks that have only done a business acquisition finance through the SBA PLP, where they only gave the borrower a 5-year or a 7-year repayment. So they were essentially layering the guarantee on for the bank's benefit, but yet not passing on the true benefit to the borrower. And so that's different. Mm-hmm. Not every bank does the exact same thing.
Yeah, the program's in place to serve not only the bank, but also the owner, the business owner themselves. And, you know, to pass on every availability to the borrower is important.
Right thing to do.
It is the right thing to do.
Isn't SBA's intent to create jobs and sustain jobs and build the entrepreneurial economy in our country? That's one of
their
roles, isn't it?
It's very much the key behind what their program is.
Sure.
SBA is not the lender of last resort, but it's in position for people that would otherwise not be able to find conventional financing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And by doing that, of course, like you said, it lowers the risk for the part of the bank and strengthens the position for the borrower. So it's a win-win for everybody?
Absolutely.
Okay. One of the things that a lot of people don't fully recognize or realize as well is that the SBA program, being that the notes and the amortizations match, which is not traditional in a conventional loan.
Exactly.
It reduces their risk because we all know businesses have cycles, down and up. And the SBA product is supposed to be there to provide them level of risk. So that if you get a conventional loan, there's a balloon note that comes up in 3 or 5 years, the SBA doesn't have that feature, a business has to be concerned that their note comes up for renewal in a period of time where their business actually isn't doing well, and mm-hmm. there's no guarantee that bank will renew the loan.
We saw that very much in 2008. That was a classic example.
Very much so. And I will say that 2009, 10, 11 were some of our most active years. We were a much smaller bank during that time period. But, Eric, you know, the phone rang off the hook because we were very actively lending, and we were using the program. And to help those borrowers we had already lent money to, and all of a sudden they saw their sales dip by 30 or 40% because the SBA does have an opportunity to defer payments for borrowers.
Quick question for you, Jesse. How small and how large can an SBA loan be? Because there are folks listening here who might just be starting their company and they're not going to need $500,000 or $1 million. So how small can an SBA start, and how large can the loans go?
Eric, do you want to take that?
Yeah. I mean, a loan size, by the maximum is $5 million.
Okay. On the guaranteed portion?
No, on the total loan
size.
Now, there's other programs within the SBA that allow you to exceed that level, but for loosely defined definition, $5
million. Okay.
On the downside, there really is no minimum loan amount. Now, different banks, depending upon their size and where they want to be, will say, okay, we'd prefer to have loans over $500,000, or we prefer to have loans over $1 million.
Right.
But really, there is no minimum stated by the SBA for a business to utilize the program.
So if someone is listening and they already have a business and they're looking to add on to it, buy a piece of equipment or expand, put a new location, other community, and they're looking for a loan of $50,000 to $100,000, is Byline an option for that?
Possibly.
Okay.
Again, that tends to be a little bit on the smaller side because, again, our fees related to that of the SBA.
Yes.
So there are opportunities if you do have needs in that size for us to finance that.
Yes.
Preferably, we have like to have loans of $500,000 or larger, but we will look at all loan sizes. Yes.
Sure. Okay.
And there are a lot of micro lenders out there that really take care of that demographic. I mean, under 150, for example, there's a couple of different organizations.
Yeah, we utilize WIBIC quite a bit out of Milwaukee for those purposes. Sometimes if they come to us, we'll pass them on over to them.
Super. Yeah, we're going to take our first quick break now. We'll come back on the other side. We're talking this morning with Eric Mankey and Jesse Hagan of Byline Bank. We're talking about SBA lending and mergers and acquisitions. And you're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and also 103.5 FM.
At Alberts & Haling CPAs, your success is our success. We can clarify any tax situation and help your business take the steps in managing it confidently. We offer services from startup to sell-off, including payroll, bookkeeping, accounting, and more. Visit AlbertsHaling.com today.
Alberts and Hayling. Personal connections, positive results.
Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. Intellectual property doesn't have to be confusing. If you have an original idea and are considering patents, trademarks, copyrights, or protecting your company logo, let me partner with you and make it easy to build and protect your intellectual property portfolio. Legal Business Edge. Know your options. Call 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
This is Bruce Lammers, president of Byline Small Business Capital. When it comes to business lending, we're all about finding solutions. I'm here with Brian Vanderwall of Vanderwall & Associates. We help Brian secure long-term SBA financing for both real estate and operating capital.
The Byline Small Business Capital team was able to provide me the opportunity to be more creative and branch out into more markets because I had the proper financing mechanism. Instead of looking at our assets as a service business, the Byline Small Business Capital team looked at our cash flow, looked at our projections, and really saw the need to grow. I think the decision-making process was quite amazing how fast it happened. They asked for all the right information of a small business, analyzed it quickly, had the leadership to make quick decisions. And that's not typical for a lender.
Byline Bank. We make it personal and listen to what matters to you. On the web at bylinebank.com. That's bylinebank.com. Member FDIC.
And welcome back to Biz Talk. We're talking this morning with Eric Mankey and Jesse Hagen of Byline Bank. We're talking about mergers and acquisitions and how the SBA can be a help to that program. Before we get back to them, we'd like to tell you just a little bit about the SCORE chapter here in Appleton. The Fox City SCORE chapter is located in the Fox City's Chamber Building. They've been a wonderful tenant for our chapter for about 42 years now. That's when our chapter started. We have about 55 volunteer mentors in our chapter with expertise ranging from marketing, intellectual properties, legal, accounting, banking, cash flow, product development, workflow process, lots of different expertise. They're there to offer you assistance on a free and confidential basis to assist you with the growth of your company, or if you're looking to start a company, you can contact SCORE. You can reach us at foxcities.score.org. That's our website. Fill out the application for mentoring assistance, and a mentor will be contacting you within 24 to 48 hours to set up your first appointment, and that relationship can continue for the life of your business, not just a one-time meeting. We'd also like to share with you that we service an eight-county area from Appleton to Oshkosh to Fond du Lac, and we have a lot of activity going on. We'll be talking a little bit more about some seminars coming up in the next, right after the next break. But reach out to us at foxcities.score.org.
And Tony, and don't forget to remind people that all of our mentoring services are free of charge, and you said, for the life of the business. So it's not just the first time, but it's every time we see you. All services are free when it comes to the mentoring side.
And with that, we're going to get back to our guest, Eric Mankey and Jesse Hagen from Byline Bank. We were talking in the first segment a little bit about the SBA programs, the value of those programs, and the mergers and acquisitions activity going on. The velocity is picking up, as Jesse pointed out. Can you share with us a little bit about when someone comes into you and wants to pursue an SBA loan, like they're buying a business, what do you want the buyer to bring into you? How do you get the ball rolling?
Well, there's two sides to every acquisition transaction that we're going to analyze. Obviously, the buyer themselves and their qualifications. So literally, we'll ask for a copy of a resume and also how much money they've got to work with towards the given project. So a personal financial statement starts that side of the equation. And then on the business target, we're expecting to see at least 3 years' worth of financial statements. Generally, we'll ask for tax returns and financial statements if they have them, and then more current year-to-date financials from the seller. Depending upon what kind of business it is, there may be other documents that we'll ask for, accounts receivable, agings, any information relevant to their particular industry. Businesses these days are frequently being sold by business brokers, intermediaries. Oftentimes there is a offering memorandum or other detailed booklet that's been put together. And, usually when we get the call, they are fresh off signing up a letter of intent. Sometimes they haven't actually written it yet, but they're just looking. So it's interesting. And a lot depends very much where they are in the process in terms of what we can get from them.
You mentioned that concept of a resume. I'm assuming you're talking about part of the business plan that the buyer should be bringing in?
A lot of times I'm talking about specifically just a resume.
Mm-hmm.
A business plan when someone's buying a company isn't always mandatory.
Okay.
Okay. We certainly are going to ask the buyer a set of questions regarding what their intentions are, where the opportunities lie, why they think they're a good match for that business. And so, but again, when as lenders, when we receive a phone call or are introduced to someone, it's at different stages. And so a lot of things depend. I have a situation right now where a gentleman is looking at buying two franchised home care businesses. First thing he did was send me his resume and his personal financial statement right off the bat.
That gives you the strength that you understand now that you have an honest, true potential buyer in the play.
Yeah, you know, with their homework to do at home. And I think the business plan is a good idea, and it's certainly something, obviously, SCORE can assist with if they don't have one. You should take the steps. Tell us, you know, why do you want to buy the business? How's the business going to work, and what's your expertise behind it? So it goes beyond that of just the numbers.
Have you ever worked in that business before?
Very helpful.
A lot of people want to buy a business or start a company they've never worked in it before.
We see that on a few occasions, and it's important that it's always about the individuals a lot of times. Obviously, it's important the numbers make sense, critically important, but, you know, it's beyond that. It's the individuals. And we want to know that you've got the expertise and the know-how to run the business.
In other words, just because you like to cook doesn't mean you're going to be a good restaurateur.
Right, or you served a beer in your den, you can make or run a bar. Right.
Okay. Yep.
There's a lot more to business than just doing the work part of it.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the business owner or the buyer coming forward and looking to get some financing, how long of a process does that typically take? I imagine it depends on how well prepared they are, right?
Very much so, very much so. I mean, going back to the idea of a business plan, certainly at a minimum, a buyer is expected to put together their own financial projections.
Bingo.
And with assumptions. And it is interesting that a lot of people don't understand what the assumptions are. So the way I describe it is, it's all that information in your head that you have, why it makes sense for you.
What are the reasonings behind the numbers you're using? Why is your wage going like this? Why is your cost of goods going like this?
What differentiates you from the competitors?
Exactly.
What I've found with business acquisition specifically is, you know, I work with a buyer questionnaire as well as a seller questionnaire. And the seller questionnaire is actually designed after or modeled after the same questionnaire that valuation companies will utilize when they're doing a business valuation, which is an important component of a lot of SBA finance transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets the ball rolling. It doesn't cover everything, and it's a generic questionnaire that is expected to try to, you know, work with those people who are buying a, you know, restaurant or a manufacturing company or, you know, service industry.
The buyer has to be aware of how their decisions create the results in their company every day.
Absolutely.
Company.
Absolutely.
Okay, with that, we're going to take our next break. It's a quick short segment here. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on 1150 WHBY and also 103.5 FM.
Are you feeling less than confident in your personal or business finances? At Alberts & Hayling CPAs, we work with individuals and small business owners to simplify finances and help maximize profits. From asset protection to tax planning and more, we'll guide you through a financial plan. Visit AlbertsHayling.com today. Alberts & Hayling. Personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts & Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
I am attorney Sarah DeBruin, owner of Legal Business Edge, and I want you to know your options. We can partner with you to reach creative legal solutions for your business. From contract drafting and negotiation, patents and trademarks, commercial transactions, and governmental compliance.
Timely and candid answers coupled with high energy and passion define Sarah's approach to legal counsel.
Know your options. Call me at 920-851-7761 or visit LegalBusinessEdge.com.
Fox Communities Credit Union.
You found the new house you love.
Oh, this place is amazing.
So, what do you do next? Come to Fox. It's the first step towards your new home happy dance.
Oh, yeah, this house is ours.
Yes.
Get the best loan rates, local servicing, and step-by-step home buying assistance from the mortgage lending experts at Fox Communities Credit Union. With Fox, you can get more home with lower payments, faster loan payoff with bi-weekly payment options, and help from local experts who are as excited as you are to help you get the home of your dreams.
Guess what? You got the loan.
And you can get a home loan with as little as 3% down payment. Talk to Fox and do your new home happy dance. Fox, helping you make life happen. Now with 19 locations. Equal housing opportunity lender. Apply online today. Visit foxcu.org.
Fox Communities.
And welcome back to our next segment here in Biz Talk. We're talking with Eric Mahnke and Jesse Hagan of Byline Bank. We're talking mergers and acquisitions, SBA financing, and how to get that deal done. In the last segment, I gave you a little bit of a rundown on the advantages of our Fox City Score chapter and how Score can be helpful to you as a business owner. In addition to the free and confidential mentoring, we also put out a number of seminars during the year. And, Randy, what's coming up on the calendar?
Well, we've got two of them coming up now yet in June. One is coming up very quickly. It's going to be on June the 13th. So we recommend that you get out to the website and register for this program. It's for those of you who are thinking about hiring employees and how to write an effective employee manual, which is a question people come into. This particular program is going to be handled by Barry Hoops, who is an HR professional as opposed to the full legal side. So, again, it'll give you more of an insight from that side of the business. The program,
and he's a Score mentor.
And he's one of our mentors, yep. Of course. And the program is on the June the 13th. It will be from 6 p.m. to 8:30 in the evening. It'll be held at the Fox City's Chamber office at Score's location, which is at 125 North Superior Street in Appleton. There is a fee for that one. It's going to be $15, but there are openings yet. I understand there's a few. So if you are interested in learning how to hire employees and write an effective employee manual, this is an excellent program for new businesses starting up. The other program that we're going to be coming up with is down in the Fond du Lac area. As you know, we cover a large geographic area. This one is going to be taking the mystery out of bidding and estimating. Now, this doesn't just have to be for construction or that type of thing, but for any type of business that does estimating businesses and so on. So what you need to do is to contact, again, foxcities.score, or you can work with the Home Builders Association of Fond du Lac and Dodge County out of Fond du Lac. Their contact is at 920-922-9067. If you want to get in contact with them, as I said, the title is Taking the Mystery Out of Bidding and Estimating. It's going to be on June 28th from 4 p.m. until 6:30, and it is going to be held at the Home Builders Association office, 490 West Rolling Meadows Drive in Fond du Lac. Again, you can register on the foxcities.score.org website as well. The fee for this program is going to be $25, and I understand there are, again, a few seats still open, so register soon and get yourself involved in that. Two excellent programs, again, for people who are starting up, trying to learn more about how to make their business succeed.
Thanks, Randy. There's a lot of good things coming up, and you can keep an eye on our website at foxcities.score.org for more webinars and seminars that are coming up for the rest of the year. I'd also like to put out a plug for the eSeed program. Venture Center Amy Peach and her team out at Fox Valley Tech. Our Score chapter partners with them each week on Wednesday morning for 1 Million Cups. That's a program started by the Kauffman Foundation a number of years ago. And every Wednesday morning throughout the country at 9 o'clock, someone is presenting their entrepreneurial business model to a group of folks in the audience who ask questions. And then there's a lot of networking that goes on. So check us out at the Bordini Center Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock. It's free, and there's coffee provided by the Copper Rock folks, Bill and Emily. It's a good time, and I'm sure you're going to make some good friends. So keep up the good work, Amy. That's good stuff. I'd like to give out the number this morning before we continue with Eric and Jesse. The number here in Appleton is 281-1150. Call us on that number with a question for our guests. 281-1150, and if you're outside Appleton, you can use the TDS Metricom toll-free line. That's 866-887-1150. So as we start this next segment, let's talk about the advantages of an SBA program to someone who's looking to buy a company. What are some of the advantages that they should be considering as they consider that acquisition?
Well, there's generally two or three different important components. With an SBA guaranteed loan, first and foremost, the ability to buy the company with less money out of their own pocket is generally one of the number one reasons somebody may want to consider SBA. Generally speaking, and of course there's a lot of differentials, but I'm going to try to do this in generality.
Sure.
Borrowers are expected to bring somewhere between 10 and 25% equity to the table. However, the definition of equity that the SBA has provided to us includes seller financing in that.
Mm-hmm.
So very commonly, a buyer might have 10, 15% cash, and then the seller holds back a note for 10 or 15%,
mm-hmm.
and the bank will finance the rest. And oftentimes, we will include working capital within that loan as well.
Some permanent working capital.
Permanent working capital. When you buy a business, there are a lot of expenses that you're going to incur before you ever close the loan. And so not only that down payment, but your attorney's fees, maybe accounting fees, and other costs as well.
Maybe some marketing costs or costs of transition.
Premiums for insurance.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times there's a life insurance policy that's required on a buyer. But in addition to the down payment component, the benefit of the SBA is a longer-term loan without a balloon, as I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to a bank and you're talking about a conventional loan, it's not unusual that they may want to see 30, 40, or more percent, and oftentimes they back into the dollar amount they're willing to lend based upon the available collateral.
Mm-hmm.
That is not how an SBA loan works.
How does SBA look at collateral for a loan?
It's an important component, but they basically say they would not decline a loan solely because there is a lack of adequate collateral to fully secure the loan.
And that would be could be interpreted that if the person buying the company has some personal assets, they can't withhold those assets. They have to put those in the pool.
Right.
All the available collateral, and there's still not enough. SBA, that's not a reason for SBA to decline.
Right. I think that the way the regulations read is something to the effect of if there are not sufficient business assets to fully secure that loan and the buyers or guarantors have personal assets, i.e. usually equity in a home,
sure.
that exceeds a certain percentage, they will allow the bank to secure their guarantee with a lien on their home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jesse, you did mention, use the word balloon when you're talking about one of the differences. Could you kind of clarify that? It's one that's kicked around quite a bit in lending, but what do they mean by a balloon loan type of situation?
A balloon note would be, an example is real estate loans, very frequently conventional, are on a 25-year amortization.
In other words, the payments.
Right, the principal interest payments are amortized over 20 or 25 years, but the note itself is only in place for 5, 7, sometimes only 3 years.
Okay.
And so at the end of that period, that borrower has to renegotiate the loan terms with that bank, oftentimes reappraising it, et cetera, with an SBA loan.
Yeah, there's certainly added cost at that time if there is a note that comes mature.
Yep.
And then there's the risk that the business isn't performing at the standard it was before, so you're at risk.
You're high danger, yeah.
You're alleviated from that from the SBA side because it does provide for the full term and amortization. And Tony, you touched on something earlier with regards to the collateral. You know, SBA by definition is a cash flow lender, not a collateral lender.
Correct, exactly.
So, you know, we're seeing an M&A activity is increased of late. We're seeing improved economic conditions. We're seeing baby boomers retiring, maybe wishing to sell their business. And we're seeing an increase in service organizations and service businesses. And those oftentimes come with no collateral.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of hesitancy oftentimes in the banking community not to be willing to finance companies that don't have any hard assets. The SBA will take a look at those service organizations and take a reliance on the cash flow. And I think that's a big differential as well.
Mm-hmm. And just a little more on that when we're talking about the types of borrowers out there right now. Who are getting involved? Who are the people who are buying businesses today?
It's a wide range, but I guess there is, you know, a classic type of a borrower is an individual, you know, somewhere between 35 and 50. that has seen success in their professional career. Could be somebody who's worked for a company in a variety of capacities or management, CEOs, COOs, et cetera, or CEOs of smaller companies, and they want to now get in and run the show and own the show themselves right. for themselves. So that's... Okay.
And it's not just for those age groups. We've got a situation where actually a father's purchasing a business from his son.
Okay.
So you're never too young and never too old.
Anything's possible.
Right.
Well, entrepreneurs are full of passion and energy. And
they absolutely are. And optimism.
There's no age limitation to being an entrepreneur.
Not at all.
So you mentioned the advantages are the longer term loan, like a 10-year versus a 5 or 7, Jesse.
Right.
One question a lot of people will ask is, what's the prepayment penalty on that if I want to pay it off early? How does that work with SBA?
The SBA's rule is if the loan itself has a note term that exceeds 15 years, then there is a prepayment penalty if you pay off more than 25% of it or the entire loan. Any 15-year amortization loan that has a 5-3-1% declining prepayment. So in other words, 5%.
In the first year.
In the first year. 3% in the second year, 1% in the first
year. And after that?
Thereafter, there is no prepayment penalty. There's just a requirement to notify the bank.
Practically speaking, no one's going to prepay their loan from their own cash flow in the first 3 years on a big real estate loan unless there's some sort of sale or some sort of other acquisition.
Significant change, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some other change. But for practical, continuing, sustainable considerations, it's almost not a prepayment penalty. It's just for 3 years.
Exactly. It's actually very,
that's
very
the reality
flexible.
Of it. Yeah.
Right. And banks aren't allowed to add on because even conventional loans do have prepayment penalties.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask you another question. Could you share some examples in your experience of how SBA proved to be an advantage to the borrower as opposed to a conventional loan? Don't mention any names or anything, but some scenarios where someone might have hit a bump in the road, and if it hadn't been for the SBA guarantee, the bank board or the bank management might have said, we just have to liquidate, we've got to get out. But because the guarantee was in place, the bank gave some consideration. Do you have any examples of something like that?
Well, the ones that come to mind really quickly are, of course, those that we made in the early years of the Byline Bank story, if you will, and we joined in 2006. And the recession, of course, or the Great Recession, kicked in a few years later. Mm-hmm. There were all of our customers experienced very rapid declines in their revenue. There was nothing they could do about it.
Right.
And the SBA, one of the benefits of the program is that there's actually an opportunity to defer principal and interest payments up to, 3 months' worth.
Yeah, and there's that longer term is very important. We actually had a manufacturer who was a wood manufacturer. And we put the loan on in early part of 2007, and we all knew what took place with regards to the housing market at that time. Mm-hmm. Because we put on a longer-term amortization, this equipment that they had, we were able to go 15 years on, and we were actually competing at that time with a conventional lender who was only looking at going 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
So you can imagine the difference in their monthly payment, and when they lost a considerable amount of their business, how can they make that payment? Well, with us having the SBA and USDA program in place, that payment was at a level that they could sustain it, even the fact they lost 30% of their business. Mm-hmm. And in that particular case, I've got the letter on my desk, and it says, Eric, if not for you and Rich Stone and Byline, we would not be in business today. And that's a great
one of the reasons you go to work.
Absolutely.
Every day, isn't it?
Right. Absolutely.
Jesse, we've been talking about a lot of stuff. If people want to get more information, want to talk to you, how do they get in touch with you? Where do they reach you?
They can contact me at my office at 262-860-2086. They can also email me. My email address is jhagen, that's H-A-G-E-N, at bylinebank.com.
And what area do you cover as far as your lending area?
The whole United States.
Okay. So anyone, anywhere who needs your help?
Yes.
Okay, great.
And you do. You during the break, you were saying you have clients all over the country.
From Florida to New York to New Mexico to Minnesota to Green Bay, Kenosha.
So all kinds of industries.
All kinds of industries, yeah. From quarries, a stone quarry in Pennsylvania, a citrus distributor in Florida, a sweet potato wholesaler in North Carolina, as well as you know, job shops in Wisconsin.
And some people think banking's a boring occupation.
Right. We do cover, and I think it boasts a little bit, you know, we were number one in Illinois for SBA lending. We're number one in Wisconsin, and we're number seventh, I believe, year to date in the nation for SBA lending. So we have a good group
of lenders. Is that in the number of SBA loans and the loan volume?
It's the volume.
The volume, the number, the dollars that you lend.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's huge. And that's a lot of jobs.
And you do have the availability, of course, to help the people who are in the small rural communities as well as just the larger areas. How does that work?
Yeah, we haven't touched on it a lot. We also utilize a program. It's under the USDA Rural Development Business and Industry.
Okay.
Loosely defined as for population bases of less than 50,000. And it's got some differences, but very similar attributes and benefits to that of the SBA, primary of which is the long-term financing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we can you know, help you out in most cases.
And this is not agriculture. This is regular business lending for small communities.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Great.
Yep. Jesse, you mentioned in the advantages comments you made about SBA lending that the seller financing is often a part of that program. Tell us a little bit about who's got the first lien on things, and whose payments count, you know, who gets their money first?
Well, really the banks get the money first. There's a couple of different reasons why seller financing is considered so important to the transaction. Of course, number one, it's important because it shows that the seller has confidence that the company is going to continue on successfully, and that they're not selling because of something that's unknown behind the scenes and hasn't been turned up through due diligence.
And I think it also is a demonstration that the seller fully disclosed everything to the buyer. They're not going to hang around if they want to get out of town.
Absolutely. And of course, we're hoping that there's a transition period for the buyer and seller to work together so that knowledge transfer can take place. You know, it's not closed day one and a week later you're gone. Thanks so much for handing me the keys. But the SBA actually came out with very specific regulations concerning how they expect the seller notes to be structured. And I mentioned before that oftentimes a seller note is part of the equity formula. And so long as the loan with the seller is set up on terms that are similar to that of the SBA note, i.e. a 10-year note, and there are no principal and interest payments made to the seller during the first 2 years, that loan is actually considered equity.
Oh, okay. It's a standby subordination position.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, Tony. That's the terminology that they use. Yeah. And often the seller can accrue and charge interest during that time period.
Sure.
And then typically after that 2 years is up, the payment on that note is expected to amortize over the remaining 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, gives the bank a lot more confidence when the sellers are willing to do that. If they're not, then, you know, it's a red flag.
Sure.
Yeah, that, and they want us to wire the money to the Cayman Islands or something.
No.
That's a big flag. You want to watch for that one.
Right.
Okay, we're going to take our last break right now. We'll come back on the other side. We'll wrap up the program and listen to the pearls of wisdom from Jesse and from Eric. You're listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and also 103.5 FM.
From ordinary tax concerns to extraordinary tax situations, let Alberts and Hayling CPAs help you through tax planning, business consulting from startup to sell-off, and more. We specialize in creating financial management plans for your business. Visit AlbertsHayling.com today. Alberts and Hayling, personal connections, positive results. Securities and advisory services offered through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA SIPC. Tax and accounting services offered through Alberts and Hayling CPAs, which is not affiliated with Woodbury Financial.
And welcome back to BizTalk. We're in our final segment this morning with folks from Byline Bank, Eric Mankey, the Senior VP Commercial Team Leader, and Jesse Hagan, Vice President Business Development Officer. If you've missed the show, you're just tuning in, you can listen to the program again at biztalkwithscore.com. It'll be out on their website by Wednesday. I would like to take a moment to just thank the sponsors who help bring this program to you each weekend. We couldn't do it without them, and we really appreciate their support for the program. And in so many other ways for a Score chapter. They are Fox Communities Credit Union, Alberts and Hayling CPAs, Legal Business Edge LLC, Byline Bank. So thank you folks for being a sponsor and helping to support our chapter, and it's a great program. We also want to thank Tundra Land for being a sponsor of our program, and also Candeo Creative in Oshkosh. Zach Pawlowski and his team built biztalkwithscore.com. They help us maintain that website. So thanks to Zach and his team, Gretel and Steven and everyone else who works on that. And we want to thank Jerry Mader, Larry Desch at the Business News. They publish a business publication every 2 weeks. And if you're in business and you're not subscribed to Business News, gosh, for only $20 a year, you can get some really good, helpful information that's going to help you succeed in your business and keep you informed of what's going on in the business community in East Central Wisconsin. So thanks for Larry and Jerry for their help in sponsoring our program or promoting our program in their biweekly periodical, The Business News. Jesse and Eric, we were talking a little bit during the break, and we had a great conversation this morning. I hope folks go back and listen. They're going to learn a lot. But let's talk a little bit about the timing of a financial request. Someone, hey, I got this ad. I want to go buy Randy's business. When do I come to see you guys?
Well, we like to suggest people come to us early just so that we can assist them with what to expect, explain the process and that sort of thing. But people ask all the time, how long does it take? And truly the right response is it's driven by the borrower themselves and how quickly they can assemble the information or gather the information. We've got situations where somebody has called us, one day and within 45 days, we were able to close loans.
And what did that result in the savings? There was a savings on that one, a benefit to the borrower.
We had an individual that was buying out a partner, and it had taken place a year and a half earlier, and there was a provision that allowed that borrower pay off that former owner and save $500,000 if he closed that transaction within a certain period of time, and that was the 45-day one.
You went to work for him.
So yeah. That was a very highly motivated borrower. We, of course, love that.
Yeah.
But then there are a lot of transactions or some transactions that can drag on for months because we make a request for the financial data and it's poorly done, it's not organized. We ask for a financial statement, we get a profit and loss statement, no balance sheet, that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. So
I would like to just interject here that at SCORE we try to help prepare those business owners for that type of role, to how to go to about applying at a bank for a loan.
Yeah. When they're ready to come to you, how do they reach you? What's your phone number and how do we get in contact?
My office number is 262-860-2086. Which is probably the better way. I mean, I like to have a conversation with people.
Me
absolutely
too.
But
yeah.
You know, your point score,
okay.
It's great when people have already done that. They've gotten some advice. They understand that they should put in writing, you know, the information, their background, again, why they're looking at the we have people who are coming to us for startups, for acquisitions, refinancing. It certainly makes everyone's job easier if they take the extra time to put in writing the story of their company.
Right.
You know?
Well, now, at this point in time, you got 1 minute for a biz tip to let people know what you think they should and what's important to them.
Yeah, I'll start that one off. It's a life-changing event when you're looking to buy or acquire a business, and they should take the time to ask themselves, why am I buying a business? You first have to answer that to yourself before you even go to seek any financial and or professional help. Ask yourself why. Sometimes people come with the wrong reasons. Well, I just got the place, or, you know, those may be good reasons, but you really need to ask yourself why.
Okay.
And I would say that when selecting a bank, that people have to think beyond just interest rate. It is a common question that they oftentimes start out with because they don't know what else to ask. But it's bigger than that. It's the structure. It's the relationship. What are you looking for?
That's the key word, Jesse.
Matching up with the right lender.
It's not a transaction.
Thank you. Exactly.
It's not a transaction. There are too many transactional lenders out there.
Right. Agreed.
Very much.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on the show this morning.
Thank you.
Eric and Jesse. It was a great program.
You.
And I hope folks go back and listen to it. Randy, it's been fun. And next week, our guest is Audra Bailoff, her daughter Christian. They own a company in De Pere that SCORE helped to get going. It's called Poppy Avenue Boutique. Exciting little ladies' clothing store there in De Pere. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We're glad you tuned in. And you've been listening to BizTalk on 1150 WHBY and 103.5 FM.